Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about India. Now, India is the second largest country in the world in terms of population size and is also in the top 10 in terms of GDP. And the reason I wanted to talk about India today is because of its growing relationship with Russia. So there's been a lot of talk in the press about the sanctions that have been imposed against Russia, meaning that Russia will now form a stronger alliance with China, and we could see a new global superpower alliance arising from this crisis. However, the potential relationship between India and Russia is also as important. And the fact that India has been buying up large quantities of Russian oil over the last few weeks shows that we're already starting to see a change in the way the world is doing business. So in this video, I'll go through exactly what's happening with regards to Russian oil in India. We'll look at coal, because India imports large volumes of coal. We'll look at what's happening with regards to defence and weaponry, because India has a long-standing relationship with Russia on that front. I'll talk briefly about India and Russia's relationship on diamonds. Then we'll have a look at a potential new payment system to rival SWIFT that's being discussed. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of India and Russia's relationship going forward are going to have on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in my videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. India is located in Asia and has borders with Pakistan, Afghanistan, China, Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, and Bangladesh. It also has a large area of coastline. India is the seventh largest country in the world by landmass, the sixth largest in terms of GDP, and the second largest in terms of population. And with over 1.38 billion people, it ranks closely behind China. The economy is a low-cost labour economy, and around 54% of GDP is made up by the service sector. Industry makes up around 26%, and agriculture equates to around 20%. India is a developing country and has a large demand for oil, purchases around $100 billion worth per year. Historically, India has not purchased a lot of oil from Russia because of the high costs of transport. However, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, India has purchased 16 million barrels of oil, which is equivalent to the amount it bought in the whole of 2021. Now, the main reason for this change in purchasing is because of price. Demand for Russian oil has fallen as a number of countries have come out and introduced an outright ban, and other countries try to move their supply chain to other sources. As a direct result of this action and also the increase in the price, Russia has been able to offer large discounts to India. At the start of the crisis, it was reported that India bought 3 million barrels of oil at a discount of around $25 per barrel. However, as things have progressed, the discounts have got larger, and it's now reported that Russia is selling oil to India at a discount of $35 per barrel. And India have taken a neutral stance with regards to the sanctions against Russia, and their finance minister recently came out and stated that they would continue to buy Russian oil if the price was attractive and it was beneficial to the Indian economy. And of course, since the start of this crisis, we have seen the price of oil skyrocket. So the average price of oil over the last 5 years has been trading at around about $65. We've now seen the price rise to above $100 per barrel. So the $35 per barrel discount that Russia is offering India is essentially just the movement in the market price. If Russia was to sell all of its oil to India at that discount and the average price in the market was $100, then Russia would be achieving $65, which is basically the average price it's been getting for the last 5 years. So on a net basis, those economics would still work out for Russia. From India's perspective, obviously the market price is now $100 per barrel. So if they can continue buying at $65, then that will obviously be very attractive from an economics perspective. But the oil relationship between India and Russia doesn't just relate to market purchases. India has invested around $16 billion into Russian oil development over the last 10 years. and the largest Indian oil business, has a 20% stake in the Russian oil field Sakhalin 1. Since news of the war broke, a lot of the oil majors have declared that they will no longer be investing any further capital into Russia, and a number of companies have actually stipulated that they will be pulling out. So BP is the highest profile. They have a massive joint venture with Rosneft and have invested over $25 billion historically. So there's now a gap in the market for partners to continue ongoing development of these oil and gas fields in Russia. And if India is happy to overlook the geopolitical issues, then they could be a very useful partner to Russia going forward. And also that partnership would offer economic advantages to India in terms of being able to continue to access that oil for a reduced price. Over 50% of all electricity generated in India is produced using coal. India does not produce enough coal itself and so is a net importer, and imports around $50 billion worth of coal each year. India imports around 200 million tons of coal each year, and historically a very small percentage of that came from Russia. However, similarly to oil, we are now seeing large discounts being offered to India on Russian coal, and India has started ramping up its purchases. We've seen a lot of European nations coming out and stating that they no longer want to be buying a lot of their energy from Russia, and so coal exports to Europe will definitely start decreasing from Russia, and they need to find a new market. And it looks very likely that India could be that new market in exactly the same way as I just talked about for oil. If Russia can offer a significant discount, which offsets the additional costs of transport, then that means that it will become more economic for India to take Russian coal. As the global price of coal increases, India will be able to switch out its existing suppliers with Russia and benefit from that relationship economically. India has a long-standing relationship with Russia in terms of buying military and defence equipment, and sources around 60% of all of its equipment directly from Russia. This has been a long-standing area of concern for the USA. However, in recent years, the relationship has got stronger and India has placed orders for more equipment. In addition to supplying arms, Russia also utilises India's low-cost labour network to make a lot of its weaponry. This table shows the pipeline of orders for Russian weapons and military equipment that are currently being made in India. So you can see a variety of projects, including helicopters, assault rifles, frigates, missiles for warships, and fighter jets. The total value of the contracts currently in production are $12.3 billion, and India is in discussions with an additional $25 to $32 billion worth of projects. So you can see the numbers are really large with regards to defence, but because India is actually making a lot of this equipment, the relationship is becoming symbiotic between the two nations in terms of making and buying that equipment. If you follow the channel, you'll know that Russia has an abundance of raw materials and natural resources in the country. And one of the things that it has that the rest of the world wants is diamonds. And diamonds have been identified as an area that have been sanctioned by the rest of the world. So going forward, nobody will be buying diamonds directly from Russia. However, when diamonds are mined and removed from the earth, they're not in the finished format that everybody wants. They're not polished, they're not cut, they don't look attractive. And India is the number one place in the world for cutting and polishing diamonds. And in 2021, the export value of cut and polished diamonds for India was over $16 billion. Now, one of the concerns going forward is that it is difficult to identify where a cut and polished diamond was actually sourced from. So in theory, there is a potential that Russian diamonds could make their way to India, they get cut and polished, and then they get sold directly from India. And it's very difficult to trace that relationship back and be able to identify those diamonds as being sourced from Russia. So this is a risk that's been identified by the USA. They have stipulated that they do not want to see the Russian diamond business profiting from the fact that you can disguise the origin by cutting and polishing them. And the risk here is that India is happy to continue trading with Russia. They're buying Russian coal, they're buying Russian oil. So why wouldn't they buy Russian diamonds? And as soon as those diamonds are processed and become the finished article, it is impossible to be able to say where those diamonds originated from. So potentially by processing Russian diamonds, this would allow the Russian diamond trade to avoid the international sanctions that have been applied against it. One of the first sanctions that was introduced against Russia when the crisis started was to cut off access to the SWIFT payment. And the SWIFT payment is the international way of moving money between countries. So this is basically a messaging service between financial institutions, which advises who's paid money, who's receiving money, and the digital transfer then takes place. And without access to SWIFT, it's become very difficult for a lot of Russian companies to be able to continue trading because they can't make payments or receive payments. And this potentially is a problem for India when it wants to make payments with Russia. So the two countries are now in discussions with regards to developing a new rupee ruble payment system that would enable money to be able to move backwards and forwards between Russia and India frictionless without the need for any other international systems. And this sort of development is exactly what Russia is looking for. And the Russian finance minister has been calling on the BRICS nations to put together its own payment system. And the BRICS nations, if you're not familiar with it, are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So these five nations are trying to put together a competing system that would enable them to operate outside of the world of sanctions that have been applied against them from all of the developed nations. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because India is an absolutely massive country and it's getting bigger all the time in terms of population and GDP. So it's becoming a really important power globally. And the growing relationship between India and Russia is beneficial for both parties. India are able to source a lot of raw materials directly at a reduced price to the market value. And as India is a massive buyer of oil and coal and a lot of other items, it needs to be able to get large volumes and it wants to purchase those volumes at a low price. So this represents a perfect opportunity for Russia to be able to find a new source for all of its sales. It's losing all of the sales for Europe and the rest of the developed world, but if it can replace those sales directly with India, then that should enable Russia to carry on as normal. And the benefit that Russia has right now is that the market price of all of these items has gone up significantly. So Russia is essentially offering a discount equivalent to the move in the market price directly to India. So India is able to keep sourcing at the old prices. Russia is still selling at the old prices. So that means on a net basis, both countries would be relatively unaffected by the sanctions going forward. The countries that would be most affected by the sanctions are going to be all of the developed world and the Western world. So we will be left with much higher prices because oil and coal and everything else has gone skyrocketing since the crisis started. So potentially we're looking at a situation here where the sanctions could have a bigger negative impact on the rest of the world than it does on Russia and India and China. Now, I'm sure the USA and all the other developed nations will be aware of this and they will be trying to stop India developing these relations further. They'll be putting pressure on India and saying you can't just take all of this stock at a lower price because it's basically making all of the sanctions worthless. And all it means is it's applying more pressure on the Western world and not actually achieving the desired goal. So I'm absolutely sure that in the same way as China has been told recently that it needs to adhere to a lot of the sanctions, India will be told also that it needs to get on board. Whether India agrees to that remains to be seen, and that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch over the next few weeks and months. If India carries on as it is right now, it's providing the perfect opportunity to Russia to carry on as it is, and it will lessen the impact of the sanctions on Russia. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they occur. Hopefully you found this video interesting, useful and informative. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick word at the end of this video. It's the bonus section only available to people who watch the videos all the way to the end. So thank you for doing that. Quick news update on Joe Blogs 2. We've smashed through that 1,000 subscriber level, as you're probably aware, but we still need to get some more watch time. So if you've got chance, if you have time, please jump onto the channel, watch one or two of the videos, or press the playlist and let it just run on your browser in the background. As soon as we get to 4,000 hours, we'll be ready to apply for the monetization, and then we're ready to start this experiment for real. So don't forget, start thinking about some videos, start thinking about what you can talk about, structure them out, get yourself a microphone, try to make it as professional as possible, and then we can start this experiment for real. So once again, thanks for listening to this, and thanks for watching all the way to the end of the video.